the explanation here, I mean, to the fan base? Basically, how did you let these two guys go? They have the fans that have been loyal. Season ticket holders, they buy the jerseys, they come to the concession stand, they're faithful. We've gotten a lot of emails from people who are upset about this. What's the explanation? How could you possibly let them go?
I think what you're seeing is a marketplace that has poured another $180 million into it. Two players unrestricted in the case of in particular Chris Drury. It was more of a personal choice for him. Competitively and from the equal of the term and competitive standpoint on the dollar side, we're very competitive. But quite frankly, it was from his standpoint, it was a decision of which he was entitled to, which he earned as an unrestricted free agent.
Darcy, how close were you getting a deal done with Chris? And you know, you said competitively, was the deal close in terms of the money when it came down to it?
Well, we never. I think the decision was to go to the New York Rangers, and. It was a personal choice, and I respect that choice. He grew up in that area. He called me after and expressed the desire to go there, and was grateful for everything that he achieved here, individually, collectively. But again, it's what unrestricted free agency is. It's an opportunity to choose where you want to go, and also choose in a lot of cases terms on which you want to go. And in Danny's case, it's a little different. The marketplace took off for him. He did extremely well. And, we probably would not chase that anyway.
Danny Greer,
before we go, so we're perfectly clear, Chris Drury was prepared to pay that money that he received. That was not the issue. He chose to go to New York. He did not want to come back to Buffalo. There was not a. And the discussions from, just to clarify a lot of things I read, the discussions with Chris Drury started 2 or 3 days after the season. So it's ultimately, as Darcy said, the player chooses. He does not want to come to the Buffalo Sabres. There's not a lot we can do to prepare to meet the financial requirements.
Actually, he did want to come back to Buffalo, and so did Briere. And why didn't you start? Negotiating with them months ago, or a year ago.
Well, that's your version of it. I mean, we were.
That's the accurate version.
Well, you were in the room, so I don't know how you can be so clear. But there was a substantial offer made to him. We made it perfectly clear that we were prepared to meet financially. Never once countered. They did not want to give us a number, and ultimately said they didn't want to come back to work for me.
At what point was that?
Well. Speaking of Ollie, for a month, we had our first discussion with him 2 days after the season. We made an offer to him, I think, about a week after that. After they asked us to not do anything for about a week. And we've been in regular contact and really up until 4 o'clock yesterday.
Well, yeah. I mean, we had conversations, Bucky, with Chris in particular in the fall. And, unfortunately, we weren't able to come to a deal. Things changed. The marketplace jumped. The cost of doing business in unrestricted free agency is also always extremely high. There's always going to be arguably a more desperate club out there. That's part of the business.
Are you telling me that back in September, when you talked to Chris, when you talked to Chris Drury, that you gave him what you thought was a fair offer, and he turned it down, and did you talk to Briere at all? January 1st?
Bucky, you're putting words in people's mouths. I was very...
He said... Darcy said a second ago, he talked in September.
Let's get the timeline right, because it's important to have the facts so backwards. He had some discussions with Chris in the fall, but it's not an offer made. You didn't imply that. Said that we started this discussion 2 days after the season started. About a week following that, we made an offer. And the week, it only followed by a week because we were asked to wait a week. We then had discussions on and off up until yesterday afternoon. We made a subsequent offer after the first offer. We never received a counter. We repeatedly asked what the number was. Darcy had probably, I don't know, two or three conversations, maybe four yesterday with his agent. So there was always an intent to provide the resource to bring Chris here, and I'm telling you that for the 5 years, $7 million, we're prepared to do that.
Okay.
That wasn't the issue.
Since last September, there was no offer made. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's right.
Dave Greer said that he simply felt as though he wasn't wanted back. The 3, 4, 5 weeks went by, no talks, no offers. He said he got the message that he simply wasn't wanted back in Buffalo. Is that the case?
No, it's this marketplace, and I'll put it in perspective. 3 years ago, when we came out of the lock, $3 million deals for 3 years for the norm, totally $9 million. What has happened and transpired in the last 3 years is we now have a marketplace that has arguably outdistanced the pre-locked marketplace, in which players are now, the total number isn't even, and it's not about $7 million or $5 million or $6 million. It's about $10 million versus $50 million. And it's going to be a challenge to organizations around the National Hockey League. And we can sit around and say, could have done things differently. We are where we are. We're in a marketplace that has really taken off. And it's going to be a challenge for this organization and other organizations. If you have a crystal ball, yeah, sure, you'd like to go back and do some things differently. And if we're not the only ones. Big markets have reasserted themselves. They will continue to reassert themselves. We have to make the decisions not on the short term, on the long term. Certainly, we believe Chris Drury would have been a long-term decision. Unfortunately, Danny Greer is an outstanding player. Both of these players are outstanding players. They gave a lot to this organization. The organization provided them the opportunity both to stay internally in the case, in particular the case of Chris Drury, and to a lesser extent, Danny Greer. Danny's not totally wrong. But it also afforded them the opportunity to get where they wanted to go, which is the system. The reality is they had a right to become unrestricted. They had a right to create full term and dollars, and they had a right to make a decision as to where they wanted to play. We had our own internal decisions that revolved largely around the franchise, the importance of the future of it. The decisions are, in part, none of them are in a vacuum. They play off of all of our younger players and the future of our younger players. And in some cases, we're much better off doing things on a long-term basis, taking whatever hint we're going to take to the organization right now for the future.
At what point with Danny did you get the understanding that you weren't going to be able to be competitive with him? In terms of what point of the process did you maybe solely focus in on trying to get Chris Drury back?
We had an indication, and I got it from his agent probably, I could tell you a couple months ago, of what the market was going to bring in. The agents are pretty good at this. They can draw it out for people on our side that's supposed to be tampering. They get it. And the indication he was going to hit a pretty big reward. And so then it becomes choices. Ideally, you'd love to keep Danny, and you'd love to keep Chris, or Chris and Danny. Ultimately, when we weighed both of those situations out, we came to the conclusion that the cost of keeping both players was going to impact way too many areas and too significantly.
Larry, if I can ask, for the people who bought season tickets and mini packs over the spring, under the assumption that at least one, or if not both of these guys would be back, what do you say to them, and if people want refunds, will they be available?
You know, I think people come to watch an exciting hockey team that can win. I think we've done a very good job of that. And we've been doing it for a long time. And we expect, I think the assumption that we're not going to have a good team is an incorrect one. I think we have a very good team. We're going to work through these weeks in the summer to add to it. We're not done. I'd say have a little bit of faith. I mean, Garrison didn't just haul off a Turner truck. He didn't. This team that had this much success as a result of his work and Lindy's work, and they're sitting there and they're going to keep doing it. So I have every confidence we're going to be competitive and beat it. This is a situation where we were prepared financially to do Christian Ray. We made it eminently clear to his agent. But yeah, I know your emotion, I felt the same way. I got to tell you, I have a lot of emotion. We wanted the player to return. It felt very strong about it. We're not happy about it. But as Darcy pointed out, those aren't decisions we make. Dan is an entirely different situation where his market value was communicated to us from his agent, was one we just couldn't afford and keep the fee that we want in the future. It was plain and simple.
Are you aware that in terms of refunds, if people ask you guys for refunds, what would you
do? We didn't sell. I would say no. I mean, we sold you a season ticket to watch the Sabres, not shooting the ball.
Can you help people, just to help them understand when you say you can't afford to do it?
I can help them understand that, really.
Please explain.
If we had signed Danny Greer and Chris Drury yesterday on the contracts they signed, we would have had to commit $87 million to those two players. We cannot do that. The other thing I think is very important for you to understand is we think we have a tremendous the talent of young core players, all of whom contracts come up in the next 2 or 3 years, and we have to afford them as well. So you make choices as to who's your future and what you can afford. And unfortunately, in this business, from time to time, there are people you can't afford because of other people you want to afford. So Darcy's point of looking at this in the long term, I think, is a correct one. We've been through this a lot. Not to this extent, I appreciate that, but we've been through this with losing players, and there's a lot of concern about the future. I think we've done a good job of fielding a good team and making it exciting for people to continue to.
Would you agree that the fans are kind of maybe tired of waiting long term? They're waiting for the Stanley Cup. They'd like to have one as soon as possible.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So would I.
And
I'm tired of it, too.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, how long do they have to wait for another team to develop
I don't think this is not a rebuilding team. Let's review where we are here. We've got all of our defensemen back, and we think one of the best defensive cores in the league. We've got one of the best goaltenders back. We've got Pagano back, Conley back, Roy back, Levanek's coming back, Stafford, Tomlinson. This is not the situation a lot of teams are in after yesterday. We've got a very good team here with a great core, and we're going to continue to win.
Without Larry, as competitive.
Without being emotional.
He's still talking.
I'm just going to suggest a follow-up. Without the two as competitive as this year, more so, less so?
Let me answer that. We're going to be less competitive without Danny Greer and Chris Drury. But the sky's not falling. This is a good hockey club. We'll be good.
And
we'll figure out a way, somehow, some way, to be better. But people shouldn't give up on these young men. They shouldn't give up on the coaching staff. They shouldn't give up on the community. The sky's not falling. We have an owner who made a commitment, took a team out of bankruptcy, is in a situation with a new collective bargaining agreement. We're all working our way through it. It's a great learning experience, if nothing else. Hopefully it transpires to a championship down the road. But the sky's not falling.
Larry, you just said Thomas Vanek is coming back. Is there anything to announce
there? No, but he's a restricted free agent. We have his rights, and we're not going to let him know. I can't be more clear than that.
Are you aware that you could have had Danny Briere on January 1st, 5 years, $25 million, which is what you ended up offering him 6 months late? And had you signed Danny Briere, you probably would have had Drury.
Are we aware we could have January 1st?
Yeah.
I'm not aware of that.
I read your theory about the two of them being linked, and with all due respect, I think if we look at it, Chris made a decision to go to his hometown that I think he always dreamed to play for, and the opportunity presented itself. I think he really loved it here. I think, quite frankly, who knows, but if the Rangers signed Michael Nylander, yesterday morning as they tried to probably move in down season contracts.
Is it possible?
But this whole theory of linking players, I just talking with all due respect, I don't buy it.
With all due respect, is it possible that I know something that you don't?
Well, you know what? If we don't know it, I mean, like, for instance, if a player wants to come back, he wants to come back for a guy, he can tell you. And I can tell you he didn't.
Archie, what's the update on maybe some other players, other free agents? Have you had any other conversations with anybody else outside of the organization?
Yeah, we have. You know, and it's very interesting because we pursued, we knew that Danny was out of the mix. and it was out of the mix on both sides. I mean, that's just reality. And you can, you know, you can describe it any way you like. In Chris's case, you know, we chased him pretty hard. We chased him until I got a phone call that, you know, he said he accepted a deal. We remained hopeful that there was a part that he would come back to us and say, here's what I'll do. And again, none of this is personal to the players. These two players have been wonderful for this hockey club. We both benefited enormously by having them here and them being here. They benefited enormously. They both came out of tough situations. Admittedly, Chris came out of Calgary. Things weren't working out. Danny came out of Phoenix. It was a partnership that it wasn't a lifetime, and partnerships won't be lifetimes under this new collective bargaining agreement. There is going to be a lot of player turnover. It's the norm. We have the best chance of creating a team in which players want to stay, remain, and play for by taking a long-term approach and not doing things that we can't afford to do. Even if you can afford them on a short term, we can't afford to lock out younger players to keep older players here. I'm not talking even on a 1-1 ratio. I'm not talking about these particular players, but generally, we're going to look at this core, this group of players we have now, and we're going to try to keep them together for as long as we can. We believe in them. We believe in the future of them. We'll try and add to them. Part of it will be determined on where the market goes. Right now, it's a hot, incredibly hot market. And in the future, I don't want to be negotiating in these periods because it tells me that if we're spending a lot of time and money on July 1st, it tells me we didn't do a good enough job on the drafting, on the development, and keeping players here. Because on July 1st, there always should be a more desperate club than the Buffalo Sabres.
I understand the numbers and what you said, that you simply could not afford to keep both players. But just directly to the fans, what do you say that fans that, you know, stood up in line to get the rear jerseys and that called Chris Drury the heart of the team? And you directly, what do you say to those fans that just are very disappointed?
Sorry. We're disappointed too. And, but it's not the end of the world. You know, stay with us.
Well, I think it's the same answer we gave Lucas, that we're planning on having a very good team.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have Ryan, they're going to have Max Pinagani, they're going to have Tom Sandick. There are a lot of great players on this team. And players choose too.
Is there a fair look?
Fans supported these players, and some of them chose to go elsewhere, so it's not a one-way street here.
Larry, you spoke of the emotions that you shared and the anger.
I didn't say anger, I said emotion.
Okay.
I'm angry at
the problem. Yeah. I didn't say anger, and okay. I'm not concerned if you're
not about anger.
No, but it's the emotions that you, I mean, does this rate to, you know, losing in game 5 to Ottawa, losing in game 7 to Carolina, just the disappointment, just the deflation?
Yeah. Probably worse. I mean, I can tell you that we were all together yesterday, we were very disappointed. I haven't slept too well for a long time. Chris Drury, to me, is, you know, the epitome of a great hockey player, a great person, and I really wanted to continue here, and we weren't able to do that. This was not this cold-hearted business thing. This was something that was very emotional thing for us. We weren't able to get it done. I think that's too bad, and I think we probably failed somewhere. I'm not sure, you know, everybody has their theories on what should have done, could have done. I can tell you, though, that it wasn't financial.
Where's Tom Gonzano? Why is he not here? And how much of a factor did he have in ultimately deciding how much would be spent on whom?
Well, Tom was the ultimate factor, but I think Tom was all there every step of the way to give us the resources to sign Chris if we could. He was late as yesterday. And that other people's decision to go where I can't comment on that, but I know that the financial resources were there to do that same deal that he did. The problem was is that we didn't have a party on the other side that ultimately wanted to do the deal.
Do you know why he didn't want to do the deal?
All I know is what he told us, but Bucky, I'd rather not get into that.
Darcy, you just mentioned about not wanting to go up to July 1st or having too much, not being in a position where too much has to happen or negotiation take place around July 1st. Yeah. Is that, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if you could maybe elaborate on the policy of not negotiating in season, does that mean you're rethinking that policy and that in season negotiations maybe need to happen?
I think that maybe we knew enough by January 1st or had a sense of market and players, and everything is fairly liquid and it evolves. We did have conversations, as I said, with Chris Durick about a contract. I had a very good sense in spring at some point that to keep both of them here might end up costing the team too much, both in the short from a financial standpoint and the long run. I didn't exclude it because, you know, you can argue and you can use Anaheim that says just keep the best players and fill with minimums allowed. So part of it was philosophical. Things evolved. They evolved.
They were still behind them last year.
Probably. I mean, it depends on who we add and what we do. I think to address your question, the negotiating during the season is still a bad thing. I think what we want to probably do is do what we did before. It's more effective. Part of the problem, too, is that when we think the arbitration process has to be fixed, you know, what really messed us up last year was that we should really move to do this properly. We wanted to do Chris and Danny last summer. As you know, we went to the cap, so we were somewhat handcuffed. But we once the arbitration award is given, you can't negotiate a contract. So that arbitration process really hamstrings you. There was a lot of questions last summer. You know, were we doing long-term deals? Who was coming back? And those questions were largely answered by September, but then by that time, you really couldn't have opened that up. You could have done that. And it's unfortunate.
Do you then consider renegotiating with Brian Campbell and Jochen Hecht and Dimitri Kalina?
Well, that was another answer. Yeah. Yes.
I'm also going to make the qualifier. The player always has a lot to say about that process. And the player can determine that the market is very high. And if that player determines that, then, you know, you'll have to excuse the club that there is no deal done. And they may hit July, and we may have a shot at them, or they may go to the open market and get the money they need, they feel they're entitled to. It's the process. It's the collective bargaining agreement. So it's not all within our capabilities.
Isn't that one of the risks of the Sabres being like the Pittsburgh Pirates of the NHL, where you nurture your young players and then other teams come along and cherry pick them?
It's a possibility. We're not sure where the CBA is going to go.
We're not going there, though. I mean, we're simply not. I mean, you know, give us a little bit of credit here. I mean, we had maybe not as intense as this, but the same issues last summer we spent in the cap, and I'm not suggesting we're going to this year, but, you know, Tom has provided the resources to put a great team on the ice. He's done it now 3 years running. So our intention is not to do this to the Pirates. But I think what Darcy's saying to you is that if you break the bank, and we know teams in the league that have done it for a number of players, you can't have a team. You can't afford to be a goaltender, you can't afford to be a defense. So you you know, you'll have three or four guys that are great offensive players, and it's kind of fun. You lose a lot of games, you don't go anywhere. So it's a tough balance in that. And it's a one he does very well, so I think we're going to keep doing it.
Well, Larry, Josh, do you have, under the, your figures that you have, whatever it is, from what you're going to spend up under the cap, might there still be enough to take a shot at, say, a Sheldon Soiree or a... Or I know there still are some free agents out there, or Dinah Zubris to a lesser extent. I mean, would they still be in play? In other words, what is your feeling toward
you're asking this two-part. Well, if you want to talk about the budget that Larry can ask that from specific players, I wouldn't get into specific players. We are talking to some players, Ed. You know, I think whether you know, again, I think it's more about, it's not about filling a cap space as much as it's finding value in the marketplace and finding good players that are going to help you win. And that's what I'm working on relative to the cap. I would hate to be obligated to fill in a number. You know, I would hate to say, if Larry says, you know, from an ownership standpoint, this is the number, and you can't find value, I think it would be pretty, it would be very smart just to spend the money just for no good reason.
We have money to spend, but everybody's got to understand it's a two-legged horse here. It's horse to one, two-legged. It's money to turn. Okay, we made a discussion with a player last night that was a lot of money, it was a short term, and the reason the term's important is you show the trip other players you have to keep here. And if you look at the market, it's not hard to figure out what certain players are going to demand and what they're going to cost. So we have money, and the question is, how do we use our money? Do we use our money and foreclose? I think Jim asked the question about this. The 5% way to be bad is if you keep the guys here for a while. If you spend your money and you can't keep them, then you're the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Darcy,
that's what we're worried about.
Darcy, how emotionally draining has it been on you to make these pitches, make these offers, and then to walk away knowing that you didn't get them and you basically are getting criticized?
Well, the criticism comes with the job. You shouldn't sit anywhere I'm sitting if you're worried about criticism. To the extent that it's disappointing, you gotta get up and get going again. You know, it's not, as I said, the sky's not falling. We've got good players, we've got a good team, we've got a good group of people here. You know, we don't know where this CBA is going to take us. We plan to manage it in the very best way we can, quite frankly, for the benefit of the fans. And that means an entertaining, you know, a competitive hockey club. Ultimately, we all want the same thing. We want a Stanley Cup. And so it is to get the maximum value out of those resources. And that's the challenge. That's the job. It hasn't changed.
Let's get a little perspective. A couple of years ago, before the lockout, when the team was bankrupt, I don't think any of you, not a person in this room, would have thought that they'd be sitting here and talking to us about spending $50 million on hockey players when we went bankrupt, spending about $32 or $34 million. So you got to go at this thing systematically. And I think we've done a very good job with it again. We're going to be upwards of, you know, the high 40s or whatever we're going to be. That's a lot of money if you're talking about. This is not a team that's cheaping it up. It's just that we lost and we're going to get players.
Larry, can you throw in one more? If you could just address, because I think a lot of fans out there are wondering what the plan is, that, okay, we lost those two guys, but we didn't add anybody yesterday. I think a lot of fans are wondering, is there some sort of grand plan that we're not being told about?
Well, the plan yesterday was to bring Chris Curry back. He's a very hard player to replace. And you just don't go off on the shelf and buy another one and, you know, say they probably broke the mold with that guy. So it's not it's an easy replacement. So we'll have to... some other things, and
RC's going to
do that.
So just for the record, neither of those players was acquired through unrestricted free agency. They were both traded for and growing here, and we'll have more of that. And I don't, This isn't the first, it won't be the last, but ultimately it's about being competitive and making sure that we stay competitive.
I understand, like, in bankruptcy, and now you're spending $50 million, but isn't it based on revenue now, the system?
I'm not getting $50 million.
No, but isn't the whole system, isn't the whole system based on revenue? Like, the salary cap is based on revenue?
Chris, is $7 million
put on that off-season tire?
Who's that guy? Stand up for me.
Call this morning.